The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country, and out of all the countries where he had driven them. Then they shall dwell in their own land. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but there's always something a bit refreshing about the new church year. Advent renews the joy of the church and sounds the hosannas to our King. Every year it's like this as the church lives in this world and heads towards the last day. In Advent, we always think about those three comings of Jesus. The Advent season has that. The coming of Jesus in history, the coming of Jesus as he comes to us now through his word and sacraments, and the coming of Jesus again on the final day. That's the coming that Advent refers to. Advent is not just about getting ready for Christmas. There's an element in that, but Advent is so much more. And so the church lifts up her soul to the Lord Jesus, her God, and trusts in him. And God promises she is not put to shame. So have that mind among yourselves this first Sunday in Advent as this new church year begins. Lift up your souls to the Lord. Trust in him. So see this image before you today. Your eyes are oriented to God who rides through the streets of Jerusalem, who comes as king to redeem his people. To redeem you. And that's always something, isn't it? To start off this new year in the church, each year, the first Sunday in Advent, we have this reading from Palm Sunday. But really, isn't that the way the Lord would have you think during this season? Everything in Advent is all couched with meaning as prophecy, fulfillment, the coming of Jesus, all interwoven in these four Sundays. It's all bursting with anticipation. Yearning with hope as you look to Jesus, riding through the streets of Jerusalem on his way to the cross. And seeing all this through God's word, you have your future in mind. You know what awaits him. And in turn, you know what you are waiting for even as you sit here right now. So all the past, the present, the future come to a head, and your response is, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame." And you see, that's the faith given to you by God, which speaks these words. It's the answer to that question in the hymn of the day you just sang a few minutes ago. "O Lord, how shall I meet you? How welcome you aright?" You are waiting. You're lifting your souls to the Lord. And this is your whole life lived toward God. It's a life that shouts out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." In the epistle reading, God inspired St. Paul to address you then as you go through this life, as you're waiting, hoping, looking for the day of the Lord. He wrote, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." It's a serious thing to wait for Jesus. It's serious to lift your soul to him. Because if your soul is lifted up to God, it means that it isn't gazing down at yourself. It's not getting distracted of the things around you in this life. It's not getting lost in the chaos and all that is this fallen world. But the turning inwardly of sin is the opposite of what it means to look to Jesus in faith as he comes. That's why he's warned you in many of the readings at the end of the church year, and why this theme still runs through the season of Advent. God calls you to lift up your eyes, lift up your heart, lift up your body, your soul, your whole being to the one who has come, who continues to come, and promises you he is returning. It's tough. It's tough because looking down, looking around, that's sure easier than looking up. It's far easier to fix your gaze on yourself. It's far easier to look and get caught up in the world around you that doesn't require you to wait, that doesn't require you to suffer, that doesn't call you to examine your life and repent. Looking down in your soul to the depths of sin, death, and the devil means that you don't have to think about these things that God tells you about. No, you can have your life lived according to your liking, living in the here and now, and you be in control of your own destiny. That life of looking down is always looking inward and asking, what makes me happy? What do I think is best? How do I think the way things should be? What do I love to do? What is easiest? What will people do? Or what can I do to get people to like me? But that's not what God calls you to live as his child. It's a life that the whole time you're walking along the path with your head down, you get closer to the edge of the pit. When you're not looking at what's ahead, or when you're not looking and fixing your eyes on what is to come, but and you're not looking in that direction, you kid yourself and you think the path is safe and the way is easy and comfortable. And if you continue in darkness, then you don't have to face what lies in front of you. You can put it out of sight, out of mind. And in the darkness, too, there's no one to cast judgment on you because each person is traveling his own way. And who's to say one direction is right when no one can see anything to begin with? Darkness loves darkness. Sin is not only tricky like that, but so are the ways of the devil and the world. Why wait? Why bear the cross? Why look for someone else when you can just be in the here and now? So take your eyes off of Christ, and you will see something, though. You'll see sin and its consequences. You'll see sin in yourself, and others, and the world around you, and you'll see death. All of this is around you, so where are you going to turn and look to in this world for help, comfort, and guidance? Well, there's no shortage of many things and people which will think they offer you a solution. Things will be appealing, sound like the easy way through life and to put yourself in control. Many of them will not call you to suffer. False gods have a way of doing that, but at the end of the day, when the curtain is finally pulled back, there's no deliverance. There are only demands, accusation, no truth. There's no forgiveness as well when you fail. There's only you and yourself to make things right, and finally you see the true frailty and depravity with no solution and no comfort, and you're still stuck in the darkness. So God calls you to look at your life. He calls you to confess your sin. The day is surely drawing near when Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. And there's an urgency to this as you go through this life and think about living in this world and who you are in it. Last Sunday, the church year ended with the parable of the 10 virgins. The 5 wise ones were prudent. They were thinking about what was to come. So God calls you to cast off the works of darkness, which are those things which separate you from God and his kingdom, which have no end, which take your eyes off of him and put your gaze to another. The prince of this world is the devil. And he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour you. False gods take your eyes off Christ and onto hell. They also don't love your neighbor, whom God has placed around you and uses you to serve, love, and confess the faith in this world. Love does no wrong to the neighbor because godly love toward the neighbor flows from faith in Christ and is guided by God's law, which is good and benefits everyone around you. So take this all seriously this morning. Don't look at those things which go against God and His word. And you see, in all of this, God knows this. God knows this about you, and He knows this about the world. There's no darkness in Him. No, He sees right through it. So even when you do hang your heads down and don't want to make eye contact with Him, He still sees right through you. God knows you. And He knew full well the seriousness of sin and at what lengths a sinful man will go to so that how he could live apart from God and His word. God knew this, and the only way for this to be answered was for Him to go into the depths, into the darkness, into this fallen world in order to redeem His people, to buy them back, to rescue them from sin and the death that is rightly and justly deserving of this. But you see, this is what God has done as King. Lift up your soul to Him. The prophet Jeremiah foretold in that Old Testament reading, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: The Lord is our righteousness." So God's wisdom, God's reign is truly accomplished in Christ, who is your righteousness. It's always wonderful to hear the name of Jesus: the Lord is our righteousness. So here's the King of Kings. He's the one who laid aside his glory so that his kingdom could be given to the very ones who were rightly barred from it in Eden. He is the second Adam whose life was lived perfectly obedient to the law and accomplished the will of the Father. The righteous branch is the son of David, who hung on the tree of the cross so that his people would be his branches. For he is the vine, as he said in John 15. The king became a servant to give his life as a ransom for you. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. That's you. That's you, dear saints of God. Your Lord is the crucified and risen King. He is the righteous one who is your righteousness. You see Jesus, and you see, there's my righteousness. He's the one who has come and lifted you out of the depths. He's the one who's called you out of the darkness of your sin. He's the one who has enlightened you by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, because no darkness can or did overcome Jesus. He is the very light of the world. And you, you're his own. So he lifts up your head. He lifts up your soul. He turns on the lights and brings you out of the darkness and slavery that is sin, death, and the power of the devil. He lifts up your heads, and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, you see the gates fly open as your Lord the Redeemer has come. He rides through the streets because he came to save you, and he's done it. And so you're waiting. But you're waiting and hoping in his word as you see this day, on this Palm Sunday, on this first Sunday of Advent. Greet him as your king. Greet Jesus as the one who alone is your righteousness. Cast aside your sin and greet him, for he comes and he says to you, "Dear child of God, your sin is forgiven. Lift up your soul to see what great lengths I have done to you, for you, so that you would be mine and live with me forever. And indeed, you are mine." And he comes to you now through his word and sacraments, giving you forgiveness, life, and salvation. Greet him as the one who, out of great love, came down from heaven to earth for the purpose of dying for you, of making peace between you and God by the shedding of his blood, so that you would no longer stand condemned in your sin and your head looking down on the day of judgment. No, this is Jesus, your King, who has done it, and you do, and you will stand before the very throne and judgment seat of God with your head held high, for your advocate is Christ, who pleads to the Father on your behalf, and who lays before the Father his righteousness, which has covered you in the waters of your baptism. Your Lord is your righteousness. And the hymn of the day is beautiful, and it states it so well, how the Lord has had mercy on you and still does. Listen again to those words written by the great hymn writer Paul Gerhardt. He wrote so many countless good hymns. This is one of my personal favorites that we sing on this first Sunday in Advent. He wrote this: love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me. Your thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. O love beyond all telling that led you to embrace, and love, O love excelling, our lost and fallen race. Sin's debt, that fearful burden, cannot his love erase. Your guilt the Lord will pardon and cover by his grace. He comes for you, procuring the peace of sin forgiven, his children thus securing eternal life in heaven. It doesn't get more beautiful than that in hearing and singing of Christ who has come down as your King. Love caused the incarnation of the Son of God in order that you would be redeemed from sin, death, and the devil. And the victory has been won. And as if this wasn't enough, God continues to come again. He continues each and every day to lift your souls toward that day when he returns in glory. Your prayer is answered in Jesus, who has come for you, who's here even now, and who comes again. And so your King is gracious and his mercy overflows. And so, looking to Christ, this is your confidence to stand before the throne of God, your Lord, who is the King, who has come with love beyond all telling, that led him to take your sin upon yourself and give you in exchange his righteousness and salvation. This is the boldness, the confidence to lift up your soul and live in that righteousness that God has given to you. It's a new life you have, too, that you're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer one who is looking down and gazing in the darkness, but you're looking forward to the future. You see where sin, death, where they lead, and you don't run headlong toward the cliff, but in godly and righteous wisdom, you follow God's word as a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. You trust his word, for it is the truth, even if the world around you tries to deceive you, tries to take your gaze and eyes off of your Lord and his word, and turn off the light. You have the confidence to know who you are as you belong to the light of the world. And it's the confidence that even as your body may decay, and even if your eyes close in death, your soul continues to lift up its eyes to the Lord. For even though you die, you live. And you know the day will come when your body will rise again and look upon the Lord with your own flesh and with your own two eyes. And in all of this, you will never be put to shame. No, instead, God has given you his own glory and the everlasting glory of his salvation. As you walk by faith, God will never put you to shame. And so, dear people of God, Jesus has come. He comes again to you this day in his means of grace, and he will come in glory on the last day. Lift up your soul. Greet him as your King who has done wondrous things. Join with all of God's saints throughout time and now in this place. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And fix your eyes on Jesus. Lift up your soul and trust in him. Greet him with rejoicing as your King now and when he comes again in glory. And even as you wait with eager anticipation, know that you will not be put to shame, and meet and greet your King and join with your fellow saints as you begin this new church year, this first Sunday in Advent, with renewed vigor. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.